Father, thank you that we can be here this morning to worship you and to meet with you. I ask that as we talk about discipleship today, that you would point out people to us that we should be discipling, and just encourage us, Lord, encourage us to be creative with the way that we disciple, and help us to see what the next step is for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So as with most things, I think a great place to start when thinking about discipleship is to think about God's view. Last week was Trinity Sunday, and so we talked about the Trinity, and in our church we learned that from the beginning of time, God operates in community. So you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he doesn't do things on his own. It's all kind of a communal thing. And when Jesus walked the earth, he also operated in community, and he had varying levels of discipleship. He had kind of different groupings that he would disciple people in. So at first we look at the kind of large group he had. He had crowds of people that followed him, and the Bible describes Jesus sending out the 72, and so they would be sent out to heal the sick and cast out demons, and then they'd come back to him, and he'd teach them and train them some more. So that was one form of discipleship that Jesus did. And then the second one, a more familiar one, is that of the 12 disciples, the people that he said, come and follow me, come and live life with me, come and walk with me. And as they did, he taught them different things, and the Gospels go into great detail describing lots of the different stories that he told his disciples. And it describes the fact that they ate together and they often slept in the same place. And so they were really living life together. And then the third is within that group of 12, he had another three of them that he chose kind of to really intentionally disciple. And he took them up the mountain for when the transfiguration happened to show them that. And he used to pray with them separately. And what I want to ask is, why did Jesus do this? Why didn't he spend more time with the big crowds? Why did he pick three out of the 12 to disciple really intentionally? I would suggest that the answer to that is that Jesus knew that discipleship takes time, and it takes energy, and it takes focus. Jesus was able to disciple the 12 in a different way to how he was able to disciple the large crowd. When we do YWAM training schools, we intentionally spend most of every day with the people that we're mentoring. And we do that intentionally so that we can get to know them really well and we can help them along their journey to knowing God more. So we go to classes with them rather than sending them to classes. And when it comes time to go abroad on a missions trip, we don't just arrange it in a way that means that they go without us. We go with them. And we carry on the discipling relationship in another country. Because we recognize that, again, that we need to invest time and quality time into our relationships with people in order to disciple them well. So today, as you can see from my slideshow, can we go back one? So we're going to look at three concepts that are going to help us to grow our community, and to specifically we're thinking about new believers this morning. So we're going to think about how can we encourage new people to be coming into our community, and how can we grow our community. So that was what I just said with my first concept. If we can have the next slide, please. So concept number one is that discipleship takes time and energy, and it takes prayer as well. We need to be really prayerful in the way that we disciple. In the passage that we just read in Acts, it describes that Apollos was very learned in the scriptures, and he knew what he was doing. But Priscilla and Aquila saw a gap in his knowledge. And instead of just going to him very briefly at the end of one of his times in the synagogue and saying, oh, by the way, next time you should say it more like this and not like that, they actually took time over it. It says they invited him to come to their home. And I know that that's quite a cultural thing, that in the time that they were, that was really normal to invite him to come to their home. And that might be not so normal for some of us. But I think that all of us, however and whoever we're discipling, we need to find the equivalent of what Priscilla and Aquila did in inviting him to come to their home. And so it might be, you know, going to a coffee shop with the person you're discipling or going to the park. But whatever it is, we need to think through how can we intentionally spend quality time with the people that we are discipling. So moving on to my second concept, if we can have the next slide, please. The second concept that I'd like to introduce you to is a thing called the Engel scale. So this is, as you might tell from the name, a scale invented by a guy called James Engel. And the idea of this scale is that it represents the journey from knowing, from not having any knowledge of God all the way to being a mature spiritual Christian. And the model is used to emphasize the process of conversion. So it's used to emphasize the fact that it shouldn't just be one moment, it's an ongoing process. So if we can have the next slide up, we'll actually look at the Engel scale. So you can see right up at the top, at minus 10, I don't know, is it big enough for you to read? So at minus 10, we've got no framework of God. And believe it or not, there are still people in the world today that have absolutely no concept of God. The idea of God is completely foreign to them. And then as we come down the list, it's each thing is a small step in the journey towards knowing God. So all the way at the bottom, at 5, that represents someone who is part of a Christian community and is sharing the gospel with others, as we were talking about last week. So at 0, you see that it's talking about the person making a decision and a commitment to follow Jesus. But that's neither the end or the beginning of the process. It's just one more step in the journey of knowing God. And it's a journey that we're all on, and we're all going to continue on throughout our lives. And that's the reason I think this scale can be really helpful when we're thinking about discipling new believers, is that instead of describing ourselves as Christians and people out there as non-Christians, because that makes us different, we can think about the fact that we're all traveling in the same direction. And by talking about us as traveling in the same direction, we can think of ourselves as the same. So as we put less emphasis on the moment that happens at 0 on this scale, we'll start to become much more accessible to people who are exploring faith for the first time and are in that middle part of the journey. I believe that we'll disciple new believers best when we have lots of different access points into our church community. And these access points should be places and events and activities that are less intimidating than coming into church for the first time. So I'd already described to you earlier the art gallery that Abby and I did recently. And that was in a context that people were used to and understood because it was part of a community event. And it was on the high street, and so people were walking past and just interested in what was happening. Now, I don't think that that was church, but I think it was a place that people who were interested in spirituality could start to explore church and find out what our faith was all about. Abby actually had an amazing conversation with someone who, the young lady has suffered lots of anxiety, and she's currently asking the question, how can I get peace? Where can I get peace from? And so Abby was able to give her a glimpse into our world and the fact that Jesus is our peacemaker. And so by doing it in a context that was slightly more natural for people, we were able to connect with people more. There's another church that we work with in Bristol that has started an amazing thing called the Sunday Sessions. And what they do is they do it in a local pub. And so people are really obviously used to going to the local pub. And the church just do a bit of music and a bit of poetry, and they have some discussion questions, and someone shares a quick story of how God is relevant to them in their life. And they've been having amazing success because for every one Christian that's there, they're able to invite two people that are on this Engel scale kind of exploring what it means to be a Christian. And I think that the reason I say we need lots of access points is that everyone is so different and everyone has lots of different interests. And so the more of these kind of events and activities that we can do as church that provide ways for people to come into our community without coming into this building, the more we will find that people are able to feel confident to come to church at a later date. So that's concept number two, is that we're all heading in the same direction and we should think of ourselves as on the same journey as people who are not yet Christians. My third and final concept involves three B's. You'll be happy, all you Anglicans out there will be happy that I've got three B's. So my three B's are believe, behave, and belong. I think a lot of churches and Christian communities have these three B's in that order. And what I mean by that is that first, people need to believe what we believe to kind of invite themselves to come to church and feel like they want to come to church. Often they need to already think the way we do. And then once they come to church, we put lots of pressure on them to behave in the way that we do. We say, stop drinking too much and stop lying and become an angel and know when to sit down and when to stand up and behave in exactly the right way. And after you've done that, then you can belong to our community. Then you can be part of who we are. I think one of the greatest challenges that we have as a church in our current cultural climate is to change this order around. So if I can have the next slide, please. I think that we need to change the order and put belong first. I think that when someone comes into our church community, the first thing they should feel is accepted and like they have a place as part of our community. Because people crave that more than anything else. People crave belonging to something. And more than anything, they crave being part of a community. I live near Ashtongate Football Stadium in Bristol. And around the streets where we live, there's lots of artwork that says things like, football is my religion, or football is family. And the reason for that is that people find really genuine community around football fan clubs. They're unwaveringly loyal to one another. They always have each other's backs. And they're incredibly generous, even to those that are on the edges of their group. Because they're so desperate for people to come and find what they've found in community. And often it's kind of strange because it feels like it's not really about the football as much as it's about the community around going to watch football. I think our churches should be like that. Our churches, we should be so desperate to share what we have in our community and in our fellowship that we just want people to be part of us more than anything. And once people belong to our community, then eventually they're probably going to start believing the things that we believe. And then further down the line, they might start behaving in a certain way because they start reading the Bible and they start seeing that the Bible encourages us to live a certain way. But I think that we should be the sorts of communities that have people coming a part of us for years and years and then eventually say, oh, actually, I want to become a Christian now. And I wasn't for all this time. People that should feel like they're part of us before they behave the way that we do. How amazing would it be to have a space down on Shirley High Street, to have some shops that the church owned, where people could become part of this church community before ever stepping foot in this building. A place where people could explore faith and ask questions freely without being told what to believe or how to live. That later they can read the Bible and find out that stuff. But initially, to just drink lots of tea and eat really good cake and be part of some sort of community that's part of something bigger. It would be a space where groups of people could run an alpha course or could run a knitting group or they could do community dinners or art projects or all kinds of different things. But a place where people could get to know who we are before coming into the building so that when people do want to come to church eventually, they can come and sit down and not be a complete stranger, not be sitting in a room of people they don't know, and even not just coming with one person that they know, but coming into a room of people that, oh, I've seen him at Alpha Course. Oh, and I recognize that person because that young person teaches the elderly how to use smartphones down in the shops on Shirley High Street. I know that person. And if it was like that, then when it comes to the fact that we have all these weird habits and, you know, weird ways of doing things, there'd be a room full of people that they felt comfortable with and were able to have people explain to them who we are and why we do the things that we do the way we do them. So I believe that these three concepts can really help us as we think about discipling new believers. So to be intentional and know that we need to spend lots of good quality time with the people that we want to disciple. To think of us as the same, on the same journey as the people that we're discipling. And lastly, for them to belong to our community before they ever step foot in the church building. So as we come to the end of our time together, I'd just like us to just start to think of one or two people that we know in Shirley or slightly further afield that we think would really benefit from being part of our community here at St. James. That would really benefit from being part of a community that's larger than themselves. And then think of how you interact with that person. What do you do with them? Where do you go with them? And start to think, how could you build more kind of church community around that thing that you do with them? And maybe it is to do something on Shirley High Street, as I said, and as I know you are already thinking and praying about. Or maybe it's to do something in St. James's Park. Or maybe it's to do something at your house. But whatever it is, let's be thinking of these three concepts as we do it. So, Father, thank you that you love all of the people that live in Shirley, regardless of where they're at on the Engle scale, regardless of what their belief is about you. And Jesus, we just want to commit to being a church that disciples non-believers, a church that brings people through that progression of coming to know you and then becoming Bible-believing Christians. And Lord, we want this church to have open doors and even open walls so that more and more people can feel part of this community, can feel loved and can feel accepted, and that through that love and acceptance, can eventually come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. I have these two different flyers. If you're interested to find out more about YWAM and the work that we do, then feel free to come and grab one of these. This orange one is more about Bristol and what we're doing in Bristol. And the world map one is for anyone that's interested in coming along to one of our training courses and doing kind of more missions with us. So if you're interested, come and see me afterwards.